Welcome to Nest in Style, where we bring you the latest trends for your home and garden combined with a twist of the past. Welcome to our second Nest in Style podcast. I'm Jamie Jenkins, owner of ahamodernliving.com.
And I'm Teresa O'Connor of seasonalwisdom.com.
We have a great show lined up for you guys today in the next half hour. Teresa's going to start off by talking about the start of spring. And yeah, can you believe it? It is just around the corner. Then Teresa and I are going to discuss the trends from Susie McCoy, founder of Garden Media Group, from her 2010 Garden Trend Report, as well as from Jenny Peterson, who is an Austin-based landscape designer. And then what we've all been waiting for are the interviews of Jean-Ann Van Creblen, who is the social media maven for Cool Springs Press, and the author of a new garden book called Grocery Gardening Guide. Last but not least, we're going to have the interview of Laura Schaub, who does the PR for the San Francisco Flower and Garden Show. This is a pretty heavy-duty lineup today.
Jamie, why don't you tell them about the exciting guests we have for the next show?
Well, since I will be attending the Northwest Flower and Garden Show in Seattle, I will have the opportunity to interview Steve Aiken, who is the editor of Fine Gardening Magazine, and Joe Lample, who is the author of The Green Gardener's Guide. If you guys haven't checked out his book already, check out my book review on the Nest in Style blog, which I will have a link for you on the blogcast page, so no worries there.
Great.
Yes.
And he's also got a television program on PBS, right?
He does. He's in the process of filming that right now. He's going to be at the show, and he has so graciously given me his time to do a little interview on how social media and capturing younger markets and why he's doing a show on PBS. So it's exciting.
Great.
Stuff. Yeah.
Great. So we're going to have Steve and Joe talking about magazines and television and how they are changing. So look for that coming up too. You know, Jamie, spring actually starts next week, according to the traditional calendars of a lot of countries. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. What are you talking about? It's freezing in my backyard.
It's true. And, you know, there's an expression that says, as the days lengthen, the cold strengthens. And even though it's like it tends to get colder in February, ironically, the light is getting longer. So spring is, in essence, starting. And if you look at like ancient Ireland, they believe that spring started on February 1st, and that was the time when the sheep were supposed to be milked. And that time was very connected with a pagan priestess who also was considered one of Ireland's great saints. And her name was Bridget. So it's often called St. Bridget's Day. And in 1800s in Ireland, they'd often make like a formal supper, and they'd like bake some bread or leave some cake on the windowsill for Bridget to come and protect their home. Sometimes they'd even like make a little cross out of straw and hang it up in the stables and stuff just to keep their animals safe. And they'd keep it there all year. Cute, huh?
It's very cute. I like that.
Also, you know, there was an old Catholic celebration right around the same time, and it would celebrate the return of the light on February 2nd. And so people would go into the church and they'd bring their candles, and the priest would actually bless the candles to keep them protected against the devil. It apparently cost a penny in medieval England, which I would imagine would be a lot of money. And they'd take these candles home and they'd light them whenever there'd be a storm or bad weather to kind of keep their home safe. So that's a nice thought, I think. Don't you?
Yeah, definitely.
Plus, you know, in England, I was reading that they didn't even change the start of their spring to the spring equinox like we have it until the 20th century. So I think that even though many of us consider the spring equinox to be the start of spring, that's a relatively new phenomena, which I think is quite interesting.
Well, so explain that to some of our readers, because I'm not familiar with the spring equinox.
Well, the spring equinox usually occurs around May 21st, and it's when the day and the night is approximately the same in length. And so that is considered the start of spring in the Western Hemisphere. Oh. I mean, excuse me, in the Northern Hemisphere.
Oh, interesting.
And also, you know, it's interesting because Japan Actually, they celebrate around February 3rd and 4th. They celebrate the end of winter, and it's based on their Japanese lunar calendar. And what they do is they throw around like beans, roasted beans in their house and in their temples. And when they're doing it, they're screaming out something like, devil's out, happiness in. So it's all about like get rid of the old winter spirit and bring in the spring freshness.
Oh my gosh, yes. I would love to have some spring warmness right about now.
Well, it's funny that you said that because around this time, it's really common to have weather predictions. So, like, think about Groundhog's Day in the United States. That falls on February 2nd. And basically, what you want in terms of weather on February 2nd is lousy, lousy weather. In other words, the worse the weather is around February 2nd, the better the spring is going to be, the faster it's going to come. So I hope we have terrible weather on that
Okay,
day.
that just sounds really counterintuitive to me, but I will trust you on that.
Yeah, that's what happens. If the groundhog sees his shadow, 6 more weeks of the winter.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, so it is counterintuitive, and I guess that's the thing with these weather proverbs. So like you said, Jamie, spring's right around the corner. So do you want to talk a little bit about what we've got planned for the next show and some of the trends that we've identified that are coming up?
Yeah, I got a chance to speak with Susie McCoy. She is the founder of Garden Media Group. She is which is the leading PR and marketing group, and they focus on outdoor living, gardening, horticulture, and outdoor entertainment. I mean, basically like my most favorite interest in the gardening industry. But she has put together a 2010 garden trend report, and just some of the interesting tips that she has or the ins and outs of the garden industry. Obviously, edible is in. I mean, it's the whole grow it yourself phenomenon is here, and hopefully it is here to stay for a long time to come. Lawns are out.
Absolutely.
Yeah, lawns are out. And this is something we're going to be talking with lawn, oh my gosh, remind me the name of that organization, that's Susan Harris and Billy Goodnick.
Lawnreform.org.
Lawnreform.org. Thank you very much. We're going to be talking to those folks, right, in the near future.
Absolutely. We
So
can't
that'll be
wait to
really,
talk to them.
I know. Slow gardening is in, and instant gratification is out. Now, this is a little tough for me because I am one of those young hipsters, I guess you could say, that I do still like instant gratification. But in the garden area, I do try to stay away from like instant perennials, and just planting all of my things with flowers, just so it looks good right away. Other ways that I try to do that is weeding. I know that sounds really stupid, but weeding for me is instant gratification and makes
Oh,
you,
me too. And
yeah.
pruning, anything where you're cutting away dead wood. And that's so nice in the spring, that whole feeling. But don't prune too early, people, because that starts growth happening. So make sure the first, make sure you're paying attention to that. You don't want to start your plant, growing again right before a cold snap.
That's a great point. Multitasking is in. It
Oh,
seems like
yeah,
this
I'm
has
into
always
that.
been a part of my life,
Yeah,
is
really. Why not in the garden?
multitasking. So I don't know why this is a new thing in 2010, but the single purpose garden is out. Those days are over. It's having a perennial garden as well as growing your own edibles and having an orchard. Yeah, what were you gonna say?
I'm just so into that anyway. I mean, I think that anytime a plant can smell good, taste good, have a historic, significance, and also look pretty. I mean, and even feel good. I mean, the more purposes that a plant has in the garden, I say that's the way to go.
That is the way to go. And the way I interpret what that was saying is having a purpose in the garden, that's going to attract a lot more younger people who maybe haven't ventured in the garden. That really attracts them, growing their own food
Absolutely.
and it's creating a purpose for their lifestyle. And then I also just wanted to mention Teresa is one of our other friends, Jenny Peterson. She's an Austin-based landscape designer. She's got some trends that she talked about on her blog that I think are worth mentioning. So
Great.
yeah, it's a top five list. It's easy to digest. It doesn't overwhelm you. But once again, I think this is nothing new. It's just good to be aware of what is popular right now, and where to focus your money, and what is going to give you the biggest return on investment for sure. Rainwater collection systems.
Good.
That is a good one. Here we have more water than we know what to do with, but I definitely can improve my water management to save a
You
few.
mean in Oregon?
In
In
Oregon,
Oregon.
yeah, that's right.
In California, not so much.
Not so much, although this last couple of weeks they've had more than,
Absolutely.
just think about those people who already had existing rainwater systems, all that water they could be saving right now. So when the summer does come, they'll already have it
Right.
stocked up. So
That's right.
think about that for your next winter storm warning. Vegetable gardening, right? Grow it yourself. Fire
Absolutely.
pits. I love the idea of
I
fire
love
pits.
fire. I have a fire pit. I love fire pits. In fact, when I was in Slovakia, I saw fire pits and built-in fireplaces out in the garden, even in these like mountain villages. This is an old thing. These fire pits are just a new way to celebrate an old tradition. I
Exactly.
love
That's right. And that's kind of what this podcast is all about. A
it.
lot of what we do today is coming from old traditions, and that's a lot of what you're talking about, Teresa.
Right.
And farmers markets. Okay,
Oh, yeah.
they've been around for forever, but these are great opportunities for urban dwellers to get fresh food, and that's local and hasn't traveled, across the country and from Mexico. And then going native.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And we're going to be talking about that, Jamie. Don't forget, we'll be talking about that more. We've got a lot of really exciting information to give you about all the Eat Local programs out there. There's more and more all the time, whether it's a farmer's market or a community supported agriculture membership or even buying locally on the internet. There's so many ways that you can support your local farmers, and I'm so glad to hear people talking about that, and you're going to hear a lot more about that on Nest and Style in the next few months.
That's exactly right. I mean, it's kind of like a cool thing to do now, right?
Well, of course, the food tastes better, and you're helping your regional economy, and you're keeping those local farmers in business. And believe me, it's not easy to be a farmer between Mother Nature and international competition. And like you said, Jamie, most food travels 1,500 miles before it reaches our grocery stores. So anything you can do to shorten that food mile is going to get you better nutrition and better tasting food.
I know, and not only that, I think it's fun to make it an event to go to the
Oh, yeah.
farmers market on
And then
Thursday or so.
who made your food. That's where your food came from. That
Exactly.
pie.
Yeah, we could
It's
talk a whole
great.
podcast on this thing. But number five on Jenny's list is going native. This is something that I have been really into the last couple of years. Unfortunately, in my area, there's not a lot of native plant nurseries. And it's really, really disappointing. So if there's any nursery owners out there or anybody who works at a nursery, somebody please spread the word that we need to have more options of native plants that, are not the ones that are always touted as being ugly,
Oh, but
there's many beautiful native plants out there.
oh yeah, there's a ton. And also, I mean, so if any nursery owners in Oregon know of native plants, call Jamie. And I mean, people, remember, we can talk about natives later, but natives can be pruned and put into any garden just like any other plant. And natives are beautiful. Plus, they're great for all the wildlife because the wildlife is comfortable with that. That's their food source. So you're going to attract more birds, more beneficial bugs,
Well, and
and
it's
you're
just like another excuse to go out on the patio, sit around the campfire, and enjoy the action that's going on in your backyard, okay? I mean, things
Exactly.
are happening back there. It's not just a place to like look at and weed, even though I do like weeding, okay? I like to have more options. It's not a single purpose garden, people.
So that's, and because spring is coming so close and all these trends are in the air, we thought that it would be helpful to talk to some of the hottest names in garden television, book publishing, garden shows, and magazines. And this time, in this episode, we're focusing on two guests. One is Jean Ann Van Crevelin of Cool Springs Press, who will be talking about how social media is affecting and revolutionizing publishing of all types, whether it's books or magazines, etc. And we also have
Well, I just have to add one thing. If somebody didn't catch our first podcast, Jean Ann Van Crevelin and Amanda Thompson of Good Enough Gardening podcast was kind of like the whole inspiration behind Nest and Style. So hopefully this thing is going to catch on and gardeners are going to take over the internet world.
So we do say that because of that moment, you really have to listen to Jean Ann's interview.
That's exactly right.
Because if it wasn't for Jean Ann, there may not be a nest in
that's
style.
Right. Listen to the and lady who started it all.
Yes, the social media maven. And also, the other interview we're featuring this week is with Laura.
Schaub. Don't call her Scab. Okay, it's Laura Schaub.
Thank you, Laura Schaub. I know. Forgive me, Laura. I do remember. And Laura is going to talk to us about the San Francisco Garden Show. And she's got some really interesting perspectives about how these garden shows are really bringing alive all the newest ideas in the gardening world, as well as serving as an important communication center for magazines, bloggers, people on Twitter, TV personalities, etc. So we hope you really enjoy those interviews. And we've got some new guests coming up in the future. You want to tell us about that, Jamie?
Definitely. Well, while I am at the Northwest Flower and Garden Show, I'm going to be interviewing Steve Aiken, who is the editor of Fine Gardening Magazine, and Joe Lample, who is author of The Green Gardener's Guide, but also who is going to be starting a new show called Growing a Greener World. So look for that, folks. That's going to be pretty exciting. But let's not hold up the interviews of our two fabulous women we're featuring this podcast. Let's just let our listeners enjoy the interview. Well, no, I lied. I keep forgetting. I have to remind everybody where they can find us on the internet. We're not on iTunes yet, but I swear we will be very shortly. So stay tuned for that. Also, you can find us on our website, www.nestinstyle@wordpress.com, as well as email. If you want to say hello or if you have a question or comment, you can email Teresa and I at nestinstyle, that's spelled nestinstyle, @gmail.com. Or you can find us on Twitter. I'm @AhaModernLiving and Teresa is @SeasonalWisdom. And then we also have a Facebook fan page. You can check us out and leave a comment if you want. So I will have those resources for you on our podcast page. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the interviews.
The book publishing world is going through revolutionary times these days, and one of the reasons is all the proliferation of online resources and social media tools like Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and so on. And that's why I'm really delighted to have Jean Ann Van Crevelen here with us today. She's the social media director for Cool Springs Press, and by the way, that's the first of its kind in the garden publishing world. She's also a prominent speaker and writer, and you may know her on Twitter as Jean Ann VK. And Twitter actually called her one of the top 50 people to follow in 2009. So we're just delighted to have her here to talk to us a little bit about the book publishing world and some of the changes that are going on. Could you tell us about that, Jean Ann?
Well, absolutely. Hello. It's good to be here.
Hey.
So, I mean, this is something that we've talked about a lot. I think it's really obvious, and not just in book publishing, but in all publishing, all print, that the trend has been away from printed materials, and subscriptions and book sales and magazine sales have all decreased, particularly things that are easy to import in a feed, like a news feed. Mm-hmm. So we've become a lot more reliant on RSS feeds and on getting our information online, and partially because it's a lot faster. I mean, I find stuff out on Twitter way before I find it out on the news or from anybody else. So I mean, I think the challenge for publishing is to find a way to be relevant and to be carve out a niche for itself alongside online publishing.
Mm-hmm. And how do you feel that social media is contributing to some of these changes that are going on with traditional print media? I mean, they can work together, certainly.
Yeah, you know, for me, I prefer to get small bits of information through social media. But if I want to sit down and research something, I like to have a couple of books that I can thumb through. So I think there are ways to incorporate it. And it's even better if people can create a product that that uses both, that has written the written form and also that connects to an interactive profiles online. And then really you kind of get the best of both worlds. So there's that format. And then some publishing companies are moving towards having a more digital and ebook formats for most of their books, because within this next year, when Apple comes out with their tablet, I think we're all expecting that's going to revolutionize book publishing, because the user experience will be closer to what it is to read a hard copy book.
Interesting. And I mean, I should mention that Jean Ann was not only the inspiration behind Nest and Style, and I know Jamie would agree with me because we did do that first podcast with you, which got Jamie thinking about this, but also Jean Ann is the author of a book that just went into the stores this week called Grocery Gardening, Planting, Preparing, and Preserving Fresh Foods. And social media was a big part of this book project from the very beginning. Could you tell us real quickly, like a quick A to Z of how you use social media, both from getting co-authors to getting the books in the stores?
Sure. Well, I mean, basically, I found my co-authors, like you, through my gardening connections, my garden writing connections on Twitter. And once we had established our core of four people who, there were four basic contributors to the book, then we reached out to our networks, to our larger networks for recipe contributions. And there are a lot of recipes and photos actually in the book that came from all of the social networks that we all participate in. So it was an awesome process. People really submitted some great stuff.
Absolutely. And I think it was really interesting how you were able to get feedback from the public about what they wanted as you were organizing this book project. It was very real time.
Right. We talked about, do you like these herbs, fruits, and vegetables? What would you want to read if this kind of book was coming out? And we asked a lot, did some basic market research. And then once the book was ready to have a chapter kind of mock-up, it was posted on the publisher's website. And then people came and sort of took a look at it and gave feedback and said, yes, no, maybe, you know, more of this, less of that.
Well, great. And everybody, you can see a link to that book right from our podcast page. So, Jean Ann, if you were going to summarize, I mean, what does the future hold for book publishing, social media? Anything you can say in like 30 seconds?
Well, I think, no pressure. I think we are moving more towards digitally enhanced books. And this distinction between books and the internet, it's going to be less and less. I mean, having something like an Apple tablet where you can automatically follow a link to a web page while you're reading, you know, the book, that's tremendous. That just makes the book a 3D experience. So I think that's definitely a big trend. But I don't think written books are going away. I don't. But they're going to have to be smarter, better. They're going to have to get to market faster, and they're going to have to work harder to engage readers.
I mean, that's all really excellent advice, Jean Ann. And I mean, you're really leading a lot of spearheading and a lot of new changes in the industry. And we're just delighted you could come on our show. Thank you so much for making time for us.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Stay tuned, everyone. We're just about to listen to Teresa's interview with Laura Schaub, who does the PR for the San Francisco Flower and Garden Show. But just a reminder, you can listen to our podcast at www.nestinstyle.wordpress.com. And if you want to just stay updated and follow what Teresa and I have brewing for you for future podcasts to come, you can check us out on Facebook as well as Nest and Style on Twitter. Now let's move along to Teresa's interview with Laura Schaub talking about the San Francisco Flower and Garden Show and the influence of social media.
You know, flower and garden shows are a great way to get products and ideas and trends that can help transform your garden. And today I'm sat down with Laura Schaub, who is otherwise known as Interleafer on Twitter. And she handles PR for the San Francisco Garden Show. And I thought she'd be a great person to tell us about how garden shows have become so important as a way to bring new ideas to consumers. Laura, can you tell me, why do you think garden shows are so valuable and how are they evolving as we enter into the year 2010?
That's a good question. Garden shows, I think, are very valuable and always have been because gardening can actually be kind of a solitary occupation. You know, a gardener's alone in their garden. And it's really a wonderful opportunity when gardeners can get together in front of new and different ideas, new products, interesting learning opportunities. And it's the camaraderie that comes along with it, that a garden show is a gathering. It's a way that people can get together to celebrate what they do with like-minded people. And I think that in this day and age, that type of tribal bonding is becoming more important than ever.
You know, I think I just love that term you use, gathering, because not only are you bringing together all these exhibitors and people from the public, but you're also bringing together media people. So there's a lot of news that's being reported about the show. And I know that that's a big part of what you do. What are some of the things that people can expect from the San Francisco Garden Show?
I'd say the three main things that you can expect when you come to San Francisco the big trifecta for us is, number one, the show gardens. Obviously, they are the crowning jewel. There are going to be 20 full-size, breathtaking display gardens set in a huge indoor space. And so that's number one. Number two is a very comprehensive seminar series aimed mostly at the home gardener. But because they are talking about new plants, new techniques, they really are good for anybody, even if they're in the professional side of the green industry, in terms of learning. And we have over 70 of those seminars at the show this year, you know, all day long in two different halls every day of the show for 5 days. And the third thing we have is a very comprehensive marketplace. Now, this isn't as extensive as it's been in the past, because many of the small businesses, unfortunately, that used to populate it are no longer around. It's been kind of sad to see some of our favorites just no longer being able to come to the show. But this is where we have, obviously, the centerpiece of that is a huge plant market where wonderful nurseries like Annie's Annuals and Succulent Gardens and Digging Dog and, you know, All these wonderful mail order places that people know so well actually are there with their plants in person so that you can buy plants. But also there are tools and other green living products, anything that's kind of like for living outdoors, garden related, home related, for the home gardener and the hobbyist, you'll find it in the marketplace. So those three things make up the garden show.
Well, that sounds great. The show gardens, the seminars, and the marketplace. You know, when I was looking over your seminar schedule, Laura, I couldn't believe the diversity. You had everything from seed starting to edible landscapes to even yoga for gardening, which I thought was really funny. That's great. We've all had sore backs after gardening, that's for sure.
Well, we attract between 30 and 50,000 people to the show over the 5 days, and you have a lot of different agendas that you want to appeal to there. And if there's any one trend that I have seen over the last 10 years or so, it's the broadening of our audience from mostly older lady gardener types, who are fabulous. They're still the core of our audience because they're just such wonderful fans and they know so much. But also to families and children and people who want to learn how to grow their own food, the whole sustainable movement, the idea of lessening one's carbon footprint and coming to a place like this where one can learn how to do that, not only from the seminars and the products, but also from the show gardens themselves, which very many of them, since our theme is gardens for the future, that is kind of the driving theme, is like what our garden's going to look like in the future. Resources are dwindling. We have to be smart about our gardening. You know, 10 years ago, it was about who has the most beautiful, great, you know, gold-plated thing. But now it's what can you do with what you've already got in your backyard and make it special. So that is kind of a dual trend. One, a broadening of our audience, and two, really dealing with the realities of what gardeners and homeowners are dealing with today.
Oh, those are wonderful points, and I'm so glad that you're focusing on those. I noticed, for example, that in your seminar schedule, you mark whether it's suitable for a small space or whether it's focused on green living. Mm-hmm. And I just think that that's such a great way to segment these topics, because so many people are very concerned about these green issues.
Yes.
Laura, as you know, you and I both met on Twitter, and I noticed that the San Francisco Garden Show is using social media quite a bit. Could you talk a little bit about how you're using Facebook and Twitter to get the word out?
Good question. I've been tweeting about the show under my own name, Interleafer, ever since I got hired back in September, and it's likely that that will stay the medium because everybody knows that. The one thing that leads into nicely is our Facebook fan page, which, as fan pages go, is awesome, very interactive, lots of fun with our fans. We just hit 500 fans this morning, so I invite anybody who is interested in kind of finding out the behind-the-scenes nitty-gritty of the show, come be a fan, because that's where you'll hear the real action.
Well, this has all been really interesting, Laura. Thanks so much for coming on the program. By the way, when is the show going to be?
The show is March 24th to the 28th, 2010, at the San Mateo Event Center, which is just located just 10 minutes south of the San Francisco airport. So very easy to get to, wonderful parking. Everybody should come.
Great. And you can find out more about the show on the Nest and Style podcast page. Thanks so much, Laura.
Thanks for having me, guys. And I look forward to seeing you at the show.
Those are two really good interviews, Teresa. You got some really great information from Laura and Jean-Ann.
Well, it was so fun interviewing Jean-Ann, because she's always got something really interesting to say.
I know, doesn't she? Little does she know that we fought tooth and nail to see who got to interview her first. So you won.
That's true. And I won because I'm older, just a little bit. And also, you know, it was really interesting to talk to Laura Schaub, too, because she's got a lot of enthusiasm for her job, and it sounds like the San Francisco Garden Show is going to be awesome this year.
It's, you know, if it's anything like it was last year, it's just going to rock the house. So if you guys can make it, if you're anywhere close, make the trip. All right, that wraps up our second show. Thanks everybody for tuning in, and remember, February 2nd, let's all hope for the crappiest weather ever so we can hope for a very speedy, sunny, and warm spring.
Really, groundhog, don't see your shadow.
That's right.
Or else.
Thanks again to Jean-Ann Van Crevelin and Laura Schaub for taking the time to conduct our interviews and how social media is impacting their segment in the gardening industry. Also look for a link on our podcast page for Laura's guest blog on ahamodernliving.com, where she'll be describing the gardens in further detail and also highlighting the do's and don'ts while attending a garden show. Once again, we swear we will get on iTunes, so those of you who have been asking about where to find us on the web, right now you can find us at www.nestinstyle.wordpress.com. And if you have any questions, comments, or you just want to say hey, you can also email Teresa and I at nestinstyle@gmail.com. And stay tuned for a great show later in February. We have some very special guests who are going to talk to us about heirloom seeds, as well as how to start your favorite vegetables from seeds. So check us out then.